Okay, we're starting on the top of Tzadi Bet Amud Aleph, second line down. We get a pasuk from Hosea that's discussing the quarrel, altercation between Yaakov and the Malach. We had been discussing that. We had brought down some Agarata regarding that, and now the Gemara continues with that. Turns out that this pasuk is left out. There are a couple of Svardim that have it in their Haftorah for Parshat Vayetze. It should be for Vayishlach, but otherwise we skip it or we don't have it in the Haftorah. So the pasuk there says, "Vayasar el Malach, vayuchal, bacha v'itchanen lo." So, from similar to what we have by the psukim in Parshat Vayishlach, it says, "Sar ki sarito." Here it says, "Vayasar el Malach." Seems like he dominated the Malach. Vayuchal, he succeeded. Bacha v'itchanen lo, cried and he begged him. Eni yode amin ases sar demi. In that pasuk in Hosea, it's unclear as to who became the sar. Vayasar el malach. It says, Shomer, in our pasukim here in Parshat Vayishlach, it says, Kisarita el melukim v'im anashim v'tuchal. We know who became the sar. It was Yaakov. Vayomer Yaakov, and it says, sar el malach. Bacha v'itchanen lo. Eni yodea mi bacha demi. I don't know who cried to whom. Shomer, vayomer shalcheni, when the malach says to Yaakov, let me go, send me away. We see that the Malach is the one that's crying to Yaakov. Kisarita im elokim v'anashim. Amarabo remez ramazlo she'atidim shnei sarim latzeit mimenu. From Yaakov would come out or emanate two sarim. Rosh ha'gola she'bovel v'nasi she'be'eretz Yisrael. That's what it means. Kisarita im elokim v'im anashim. As Rashi points out, which is saying im elokim nasi she'be'eretz Yisrael.
They are smuchim, they receive smicha in Eretz Yisrael, which is only something that happens in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore they attain the title of Elohim, which is used for Dayanim in the Torah, that only applies to someone who's samuch. So therefore the word Elohim here is used in reference to the leaders in Eretz Yisrael, those that have smicha, whereas Anashim is used as the term to describe those in Bavel and the leaders in Bavel.
And therefore, the Nasi Sheberetz Yisrael is called the Elukim here. And the Im Anashim is the Rosh Gola. Those two leadership positions will come out of Yaakov. So then, Rosh Gola Shebeov and Nasi Sheberetz Yisrael, Mikan, Ramazlo, Galut. From that, you see that he hinted him there would be a Galut. The fact that he says there will be one of the leaders will be in Bavel, already indicates that he's telling him that there will be Galut. Now the Gemara skips over to the dream that the butler has in jail when he's repeating the dream to Yosef about the wine, the grapevine and the wine that is created from it. And the Gemara is going to darshan that pasuk and it'll relate back to what we're doing. Zbegefen shlosha sarigim, and in the gefen, the vine, there were three tendrils, three branches that came out. These are the three, say, powerful power brokers that come out of Klal Yisrael in each generation. Rashi calls them Sarei Geim, which are Ashirim Ukrovim Lemalchut. They are wealthy, and they have connections, politically connected people. Pamim Shishnaim Kan Bechad Beretz Yisrael. Sometimes we have two in Bavel and one in Eretz Yisrael. Pamim Shishnaim Beretz Yisrael Bechad Kan. And sometimes it's the other way around, where two are in Eretz Yisrael and one is over here. Yahivu Rabbanan Enayu, Rabbanan Ukva, Rabbanan Nechemio. So the Rabbanan, when they had this memory, they looked at Rabbanan Ukva and Rabbanan Nechemio, Bnei Brati Rav, who were the grandchildren of Rav through his daughter. So they looked at them as being people who were wealthy and well connected with the government. Rav Amar, Rav offers an alternative about who these three people are. Elu Shlosha Sarei Goyim. Shemlamdim Zechut al Yisrael b'chol dor v'dor. These are the three Sarim. Now, it's interesting here how Rashi changes the interpretation. Before, when he said Gimel Sarei Geim, he says we're talking about human beings. We're talking about Jews that are wealthy and politically connected. Over here, he says Shlosha Sarei Goyim. He doesn't talk about them being ministers or rulers, non-Jewish rulers, but he rather calls them Sarei Goyim Malachim, angels. The Sarei Goyim, the ministering angels, Shemlamdim Zchut al Yisrael b'chol dor v'dor, that speak favorably about Klal Yisrael in each generation. So as opposed to being that they were three leaders or political leaders that are somehow positively disposed to Klal Yisrael, Rashi reads it as being there are three ministering angels that are positively inclined towards Bnei Yisrael. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Giffen. So the Pasuk talks about basically the development of a vine. And in there you have the Giffen, which is the name for the vine. You have the Shloshah Sarigim, which are the branches. Then you have Vehiko Porachat, it buds. Altanitza, then it blossoms. And then Hibshilu Eshkoleotea Anavim. And then clusters ripened into grapes. So that's the dream that he speaks about. And they're going to darshan each passage part of that. So Rabbi Lezer Omer, Geffen, Zeulam. This is the world. Shlosha Sarigim, the three branches, tendrils, are Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Vehikil Porachat, Altanitza. It's like that it budded and then it blossomed. Elu Imahot. This is referring to the Imahot. And Hibshilu Eshkoleotea Anavim, that the clusters ripened, Elu Hashvatim. Those are the 12 Shvatim that came out. And as Rashi explains over here, then we, Altanitza, Ein Chashuv Neitz Kolkach. It's not so significant, the buds, as well as the blossoms. Uksarigim, Shemin Afim Kashim, versus the branches, which are the support, like the strong support of the grapes. So that's why they applied the Shlosha Sarigim to the Avot. And Kiporachat Altanitza, which are the buds and the blossoms, which are not as important, as strong as the branches, they assign those to the Imahot. And then Hivshilu Eshkelotea Anavim, which is the product of the Avot and Imahot, are the Shvatim. Amarlo Rabbi Yeshua V'chi Marin Lo L'Adam Mashahaya. Wait a minute. Do they show people what has happened already? This dream already has taken place after the Shvatim already born. So you're saying, so suggesting that this dream that the butler is having is not an indication of the future, but rather telling something that already happened in the past? A dream is a form of nivuah. It should be predictive in nature. It should be about the future, not about the past. Ella, Giffen ze Torah. When we're talking about the vine, that's Torah. Shloshia sarigim elo Moshe Aaron Miriam. Those are the children of Amram and Yocheved, the leaders of Klal Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim. Behi kuporachat alta nitza elu Sanhedrin. Again, being secondary to the primary leadership being Moshe Aaron and Miriam, and then you have the Sanhedrin being the secondary leadership. Hivshilu eshkolotea anavim, elu tzadikim shebechol dor vador. These are the righteous in each generation. Amar Rabbi Gamliel, adayin tzrichim anu lemodai. All these explanations are very nice, but we need Rabbi Lezer Modai to teach us the real meaning. Demukim le kulei b'chad makom. Because he explains all of it about one location, about one theme. Lazar Modai Omer, Geffen, Ze Yerushalayim. Shlosha Sarigim, Ze Mikdash, Melech V'Kohen. So the Geffen refers to the greater Yerushalayim. The three branches are the Mikdash, the Beit Mikdash, the Melech, and the Kohen Gadol. Over here it's interesting, I don't know if he's referring to Mikdash as being the seat of the Sanhedrin as well, in the Mikdash, because then you really would have the three bases of power that are seated in Yerushalayim. You would have the Mikdash referencing to the seat of the Sanhedrin. You'd have the Melech being the king, and the Kohen Gadol, the religious leadership, who are basically the three balances of power that exist. The religious, the political, and the halachic authorities, and legislative authorities that were in Klal Yisrael. The Eko Parachat Alta Nitza, Elu Pirchei Kuna. These are the young Kohanim. Yivshilu Eshkolotea Anavim, Elu Nisachim. These are the wine libations that you bring. Shuben Levi Mukim La B'Matanot, talking about the gifts, not Matanot Kuhuna necessarily, but the gifts of Klai Yisrael. Damer B'Shuben Levi, Geffen Zutorah, Shlosha Sarigim. So Geffen is the Torah that was granted to Klai Yisrael. The three branches, tendrils are Zeb Ber, Amud Anan. Those are the three things, the three gifts that Bnei Yisrael got in the Midbar, the Be'er, the Amud Anan, and the Man. Those are the three things they got in Midbar, which according to the Gemara and Sukkah, correspond to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, because each one of those gifts was given. Be'er is Miriam, the Amud Anan is because of Arizkut Aaron, and the Man is Bizkut Moshe. Vehiko Parachat Altanitza, Elu HaBikurim. These are the fruits that Bnei Yisrael bring up, the Matnot that they bring up to the Mikdash. Yivshilu Eshkolotea Anavim, Elu Nisachim. These are the wine libations that they bring up to the Mikdash. It seems to be, at first, Hashem's gifting to us, the Torah, the Be'er, the Amud Anan, and the Man. And then our return to Hashem, I mean, that's in the Midbar. Hashem is providing us our sustenance. In Eretz Yisrael, it's the other way. Hashem provides us the fruit, but we bring up the Bikurim to Him. Hashem provides us the wine, but we bring the Nisachim to Him. So the development of Klal Yisrael, moving from the Midbar, where they're receiving the gifts from Hashem, to into Eretz Yisrael, where everything comes Derech HaTeva, and we are presenting those gifts to remind us that it really comes from Hashem inside of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Ava Amar, Gifin Elu Yisrael. Gefen refers to Klal Yisrael, V'chein Hu Omer, because it says, Gefen Mimitzrayim Tasiya. Dealing that the Gefen from Mitzrayim Tasiya will bubble up, will ferment.
Journey, travel out of Mitzrayim.
Shlosha Sarigim, Elu Shlosha Rigalim, Shisrael Olim Behem B'chol Shana V'Shana. These are the three, refers to the three Rigalim that Bnei Yisrael are Ole L'Regel. V'hi Koparachat Alta Nitza. The moment of time has come where Bnei Israel will begin to multiply. Says in the pasuk in Shmot, Bnei Israel paru v'yishrutzu alta nitza. That's why you had before the aleph, the bach takes out. I mean, hiki poracha, because they're separating here between porachat and alta nitza. So over here it's alta nitza. Higi azmanam shel Israel ligael. It's the time for Bnei Israel to be redeemed. V'cheinu omer. It says, "V'yez nitzcham al bigadai v'chol mabushai el alti."
This is actually from the Torah that we read for Parshat Nitzavim, but over there, interesting enough, it's talking about Edom. Yet the Gemara here is applying it to Mitzrayim because of the mashal that's used. The mashal is talking about Hashem coming to attack Edom, and it says when he comes to attack Edom, he will do it alone. But it describes his attack on Edom like someone pressing in the wine press. And therefore it says, Hashem says, that I alone, ve'ma'amim ein ishiti, there was nobody else with me, ve'drachim ba'api, and I stomped them out in my anger. I trampled them, ve'chamati, in my wrath. Ve'yez nitzcham al bigadai, and then their lifeblood spurted out on my clothes, ve'choma bushai eg'alti, and I soiled or ruined all of my garments. So obviously the allusion here in the psukim to the wine press and Hashem being in the press, and getting dirty from working in the wine press, is speaking about the blood that he's going to spill in attacking the here Edom, but also by us in Mitzrayim, the nations for persecuting the Jews.
So, came the time for Mitzrayim to drink their cup of bitterness, right? Their cup of retribution. The three times in the dream of the butler that it mentions the kos of a kos there, we darshan it. One of the midrashim of there darshans it for the arba kosot that we drink on the night of Pesach. Rabbi says that these shlosha kosot amurot b'mitzrayim lama, what are they for? Echad sheshata b'mei Moshe. One of them is the cup of kosot harila, the poison, the retribution, the kos of bitterness that they drank in the time of Moshe where Bnei Israel left. Echad sheshata b'mei paro necha. In the times that Paro Nechev, that they did in the time of Paro when Nebuchadnezzar conquers Paro and Mitzrayim was destroyed. Once in the future. And then the last time that they will join the rest of the nations in feeling the retribution of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Samalei Rabbi Abba, the Rabbi Yirmiyah Ba'Abba. Ki darish lehu Rav, lahani karai. When Rav used to darshan these psukim ba'garata, kavatech darish lehu. He used to darshan them similar to the way that you darshan them, which is Ramir Rabba said that the Gefen is Elu Yisrael, and about Bnei Yisrael's leaving Mitzrayim. I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Uma zu kegefen nimshala. This nation is compared to a Gefen. Zmurot sheba elu balei batim. The branches are the balei batim. Balei batim over here are the basically the support, the strength of the nation. Eshkolot sheba elu talmidei chachamim. The clusters that are found, the grapes that are found, these are the talmidei chachamim. Alim sheba ilu amei aretz, the leaves are the amei aretz. Kanukanot sheba ilu rikanim shev Yisrael, the shoots that are there are the empty ones of Klal Yisrael. It's interesting in this term, kanukanot, we're going to see it again in today's daf. It's used in many locations here. They use it to describe the lungs, very good, right, to describe the bronchi in the lungs. They use the kanukanot. Over here, they're using it on the grapevine. And in today's daf, we're also going to use it on the kanukanakot, which means to be some small projectile off the gid. When you have the gid, you have smaller projectiles that come off of it. They also call those kanukanakot. So it's an interesting word. It's like a utilitarian word that's used in many places, but it seems to mean anything that's a smaller projectile coming off of something else. That's what it seems to mean the word means, because they're using it in all these contexts for a smaller pipe, smaller chute that comes off of something. So just look in Rashi, it's very interesting. Rashi, based on what Rish Lakish says, these branches, from it extends the lulavim, these shoots, the leaves, and the pri, and the grape themselves. And that's the main part of the gefen. Kach balabatim. The balabatim are the gomlei chesed. They're the ones who take care of Klal Yisrael. They're the gomlei chesed machzikim yedei aniyim. They take care of the poor. Umfazrim memonam lemalchut. And they protect Bnei Yisrael by taking care of the political issues. Bishvil achichem. Umitkayimim ayadam. And they are the core support, the backbone of Klal Yisrael. It's an amazing statement here of Rashi. Alim. The Alim, we said, were the Ami Aretz. Rashi says, should be given. Sovlim aruach. They take the beating of the wind. Umaginim alesh kolot. And they protect the grapes, the clusters. Shelo yakem ashrav. Veshemesh veruchot. That the dry winds and the hot, the heat, and the winds will not affect the grapes. They're protected by the leaves. Kach. Ami Aretz. Choshim vizorim vekotrim. Ashit tamidich chachamim ochlim. They do things that are beneficial to the tamidich chachamim because they are beneficiaries in the sense that they provide the produce and the materials which they will consume. But then, Kanuka goat is, he goes, Vidlish, lo chazu l'midei. These shoots that are worthless, that refers to the Reikanim, Shiba Yisrael. So interesting, that's Rish Lakish, who's making the comment. Rish Lakish, who was about Tshuva, making the comment about the symbiotic relationship between the different parts of Klal Yisrael, the Talmidei Chachamim, the Balei Batim, and the Amei Haaretz. Vayinu d'shalchu mitam, and that's what they send from there. The Bayi Rachamim Itkalia Al Aliyah, so that you should make sure to ask for Rachamim on the Itkalia Al Aliyah, on the leaves that are there. The Ilmalei Aliyah Lomit Kamim Itkalia, so that the clusters, the grapes, should ask for Rachamim on the leaves, because without the leaves, the grapes don't survive, or the clusters don't survive. So you see from this, the recognition of the Talmid Chachamim, of the support provided both by the Balei Batim, who are the core, but also the Amei Aretz, who are not necessarily as attuned in Torah and being Gomlei Chesed, but they still help the Yeshuva Olam. They still make sure that the Tov Vara, the Shevet Yitzara, they are providing and they are doing productive things in the world. So now, Ve'ek Reha Li B'chamisha Asar Kosef. So here it says, and we're going to dash in the pasuk, just read that, I purchased it for myself with 15 kosef, 15 silver coins. Amar Yochan Mishir Rabbi Shimon Yotzadak, and Kira Alashon Mechira. Kira is a lashon of purchasing, Shinemar. Bikivri Asher Karita Li Yaakov describes to Yosef about the Marat HaMachpelah, about where he buried Leah and where he wants to be buried.
Yaakov tells Yosef to bury him in Marat HaMachpelah, that's in the place Asher Kana Avraham et HaSadeh Meit Efron Achiti Lachuzat Bover. That's the location where I want you to bury me, is the place that Avraham had purchased in the Marat HaMachpelah. When Yosef goes to Paro to make the request, he says, Avi Hishbi'ani Le'Mo'er, my father made me take an oath, saying, Hinei Anochi Meit, Bikivri Asher Karita Li Beretz Kanan, Shama Tikbireini, I'm going to die, and I want to be buried in the location Asher Karita Li Beretz Kanan, Shama Tikbireini, that's where you should bury me.
Talks about Bikivri Asher Karita Li. That's kever that I, Karita Li, you would normally read as being to dig. By bor, it says ki ichre ish bor. So ki ichre over there sounds like he dug the bor. Gemara there darsh is also the same thing about kriya, that kariti could also refer to purchasing. So here it's bikivri asher kariti li. So I didn't literally dig it, but I purchased this. Bichamisha asar. Where's the 15? Hashem is saying that he purchased Bnei Yisrael with 15. Zet tedvav b'nisan shibo nigalu Yisrael mimitzrayim. That's the 15th, the 15, he refers to the 15th Nisan, which Hashem took them out of Mitzrayim, and that's when Hashem made a kinyan on a Klal Yisrael. Kesef, ilu tzadikim. The silver refers to the tzadikim. V'cheinu omer, surah kesef, lakach biado. The bundle of kesef he took in his hand. Here referring to the tzadikim, as Rashi points out in Perek HaChelek. They sent for Nebuchadnezzar, come, Hashem has said, we're hearing from the Nevi'im that you have been charged with destroying Bnei Israel and destroying the Mikdash. Nebuchadnezzar says, I don't want to come because I know in the end I'm going to pay the price for destroying the Mikdash. They said, no, that Hashem already has left the Mikdash. There's going to be nothing wrong. Everything's fine. He says, no, but the tzaddikim are going to be there and they're going to daven and I'm going to be in trouble once they daven. So they said, no problem.
Hashem has already taken the tzaddikim with him and killed them out.
So that he felt more comfortable about destroying the Mikdash and not facing the retribution of Hashem. So Chomer Se'orim Veletach Se'orim is a continuation of the Pasuk, which we've seen before. So it's a Chomer Se'orim is the equivalent of a kur. A kur is 30 sa'ah, and a letech is half a kur, which is 15 sa'ah. So Elu, so that's 30 plus 15 is 45. Elu Mem Hei Tzadikim Shalom Mitkayim Behem. These are the 45 tzadikim that sustain the world. I don't know if there are 30 here in Bavel and 15 in Eretz Yisrael. 30 in Eretz Yisrael, but Tetvav Kan and 15 here in Bavel. Shomer, when he says, Vekcha, 30 kesef, Ashlichoto, Beit Hashem, Ela Yotzer, Avi Omer, 30 Beretz Yisrael. So I see that the 30 are in Eretz Yisrael, but Tetvav Kan, and we have 15 in Bavel. Amar Abaye, Rubayu, Mishtachachay, Bebek Nishka, Tetute, Afto. Says that the majority of them are found, of these 30 tzaddikim are found in the Beit Knesset, the Tute Afta. Below, Afta, Rashi says the Yitzia. Below, Afta, Rashi says the Yitzia. Yitzia is the rafters that are found below the rafters in the Beit Knesset.
Or it refers to the side chamber, so they were below the side chamber, although that doesn't give us any indication of where that location was.
The common denominator between them being that these are places that are insignificant, not where you would normally look for those that are chashuvin and those that are tzaddikim. These are anonymous people that are the real tzaddikim on which the olam is omed.
That's what it says. It says, if it's good in your eyes, give me my payment. Otherwise, you have to pay me up the 30 kesef. Hashem is saying, give me back the tzaddikim.
Rashi over here explains that Hashem says to them, you have to give back those 30 tzaddikim that I gave and that you were getting schar for, and so I can then take those 30 tzaddikim and place them amongst Klal Yisrael. So I'll exchange, take away those 30 tzaddikim from you and give them to Klal Yisrael. Rashi in Novi, in Zechariah, actually explains it slightly differently. And over there he says, if you want to remain my peoples, he's talking to the nations of the world, Hashem, if you want to remain my peoples, then you have to pay me my fee. That means you have to keep my mitzvot, you have to do what I say. When push came to shove, the only people that showed up were 30. There were only 30 righteous people that showed up to keep the mitzvot that Hashem had commanded to the nations of the world.
Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Elu Shloshim Tzadikei Umot Olam, Shumot Olam Mitkayimim Aleihem. It's not referring to Bnei Yisrael, but rather to the Umot Olam, that they have 30 Tzadikim, the righteous Gentiles that support the world, and they are the ones that allow or sustain the world. Ulamar, it's very interesting, Elu Shloshim Mitzvot Shikiblu Aleihem Bnei Noach. These are the 30 Mitzvot that Bnei Noach accepted. Rashi says, of course, Lo Nitparshu. Where do we find 30 mitzvot? Mehachahu dekayolif. He's learning it out of here, but we don't have anywhere else, so we have a matching source, right, that suggests the same thing, but the Renshenberg mentions over here to look in the Mir Benaya, Sarah Mamarot Mamari. He says to look in these two places where they list out actually the 30 mitzvot. What's more interesting is the next part of it. Ve'imekaimim eloshlosha. Out of those 30, they only keep now 3 of them. And listen to these 3 because it doesn't look very good now. Achat she'ein kotvim ktuba lezecharim. They don't allow for marriage between males. They don't have marriage contracts between males, which is now just fallen apart. Right, that's exactly what this just had fallen apart. Now in the United States, now in many places where they're approving the ability for there to be a ktuba, there to be a marriage contract between the same-sex individuals. Rashi brings two different interpretations down. One is he says that they, even though they are cannibals and they eat the meat of human beings, they don't bring it into the shuk. They don't make it public. They don't make it obvious that they're doing that. Then he says vanishamati, which seems to be a much more plausible explanation over here, is basar beimashimitameatzma. They don't sell in the shuk an animal that died by itself. I mean, like, that would be a diseased animal, an animal that died not because it was shechted or killed, but rather just died on its own, and they don't sell that meat in the shuk. V'achat shemechabdin et ha-Torah. They give kavod ha-Torah. they respect the Torah. So because of that, those are the three things that they do keep, and that's that sustains those nations. So we saw this in a Mishnah, that when it comes to Gidon Asher, it's noeg be'ema, but it's not noeg be'of, because they said that the oaf doesn't have a Gidon Asher. My says, Vaka Chazina, Ditle. He does have a Gidon Asher. What are you talking about? It's Itle below Agil. He has it, but it's not circular in nature. The two things I would say about this, one is that they don't have the same ball and socket joint that is found in the animal and in the human beings. Joint itself is shaped differently. As well as the agil here refers to the basar, svivot etzem, the flesh that is around the bone. Ve'enu dome lekaf, it's not like a spoon. Any flesh that sits on top and is circular in nature, that is called a kaf, like a spoon. But that is true of a human being, that's true of animals, but by the oaf, that is not true. Their basar runs as on a horizontal line. So you can see it over here. A basar igul that you have in the animals, whereas here in the ofot, they have, it just runs in a straight line and a rochav across. It doesn't create that circular feel around the top of the joint. So boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, itle the oaf, the agil. What happens if the oaf actually has flesh and it's circular and it's wrapped around like a kaf? Itle the behema, the lo agil. What happens if the behema has a gid in the she, has its joint, and its lo agil, it doesn't have the basar that is circular kaf around it? Butter the day as linen to go after the individual animal, or butter mine as linen, do we go after the species? And Gemara leaves us as a teiko. It's unsure as to whether we follow the specific animal or we follow the specific species. No egg mishalil. It's no egg mishalil with a fetus. Amar Shmuel v'chalbo mutar the divrei akol. In the Mishnah it said that by a shalil, Rabbi Meir says it's no egg mishalil, and then Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says it's eno no egg mishalil. And then when he says eno egg mishalil, he says v'chalbo mutar. Now the Chabot Mutar, is that only a statement of Rabbi Yehuda? Is there also a statement of Rabbi Meir? So Shmuel says, V'chabot Mutar l'divrei akol. It's going according to everybody that it's Mutar. Gemara says, Chabot Dumai. What chelev we're talking about? So we saw this Gemara earlier, it was quoted earlier on in the Masechta, and over there we had a machloket to Rashi and Tosafot. Rashi says that they quoted the whole Gemara from here and it wasn't necessary. Because what's relevant is here, it is relevant, the whole Gemara. When we quoted it before, it wasn't relevant. Rabbeinu Tam argued over there and said, no, you can quote the whole Gemara, and all of it will be relevant over there. And what is that? Ilema de Shalil. What chalev are we talking about here? Ilema de Shalil, it's the chalev of the Sheol, v'ham miflig b'ligebe. We have an explicit braita, tosefta, that says that they do argue. The Tanya, no heg b'shalil v'chobo asur, divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that Gidon Asher applies by a Shalil, as well as the fact that its chalev is asur. There is no din of Gidon Asher in a fetus, as well as the fact that its chelev is mutar. They disagree when we're talking about a live fetus that is 9 months old that will survive. And they are the shitatam. Because we know that Rabbi Meir believes by Ben Tisha Chai that the Shechitat Aim has no impact on the Tem Tisha Chai. So therefore it's looked at as a separate entity. If it's a separate entity, it has its own gid, its chelev is asur. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, the Shitato, is that the mother Shechita will be poter, will be mitaher, the fetus. And you'll have what's called Ben Pekua. You'll be allowed to eat it even without any Shechita. And therefore, he sees it as basically Yerachimo, as an extension of the mother, which means there is no Gid, there's no Chelev, because they don't exist. They're just an extension of the mother. It's the Basar of the mother. Vela Chelbo de Gid. So what are you going to say to this now? We're talking about the fat of the Gid and Asher. Hamafling Pleyeba. They also argue about that. Titania, Gid and Asher. Michatet Acharab B'mchom Makom Shol. You have to scrape it out wherever it is. V'chotech Shmano Mi'ikaro. And then you got to go cut out the fats that are attached in the base of the Gid and Asher. Divi Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, gomomo im shofi. Suction it off with the shofi. Rashi explains that it means achelev agvoa. Rabbi Meir says you have to go wherever the gid is, you have to scrape around it and take all the chelev off. Rabbi Yehuda says, gomomo im shofi means achelev agvoa v'nir ala shofi. It's the chelev that's all the way up at the top of the hip and the femur at that joint. Gomomo mashlicho, you take it out and you throw it away, mipnei marita ayin. Because of Marayim, Shalom Yireki Ochel Gid. Because it's up at the top, it looks like it's part of the Gid, and it looks like you're eating the Gid, so you throw that away. Aval Ikaro V'Shorasho, much further down the leg, where the Gid goes, Shal Shuman V'Shal Gid Mutarim. That fat is Mutar, you don't have to go in and scrape it all out and get it all out of there.
That's the way that Rashi explains the Gemara. that Rabbi Yehuda believes that you still have to take off a portion of the chalev, but that's only the portion up by the top of the hip, which could be confused with the gid, but the remainder you don't. Tosafot disagrees with that position in Rashi and says, Gomumo in a shofi, he says that Lashon is kasher, the way Rashi is explaining it. Elakach nira, the Gomumo agid luchude koi. That when he says Gomumo in a shofi, he's talking about only the gid. That Rabbi Yehuda has no requirement of removing the fat whatsoever. And when the Gemara later on wants to, we're going to see in a second, try to set it up that the fats that are asur are like Rabbi Yehuda, then Rabbi Yehuda says nothing of the sort. He only says that you have to take out the gid according to Tosfos Pshat. According to Rashi, it makes a lot more sense because there is some fat that is asur. Ela agid mishum chelbo talui b'minhogo. Because the chelev that's attached to the gid is talui b'minhag. So we'll just say that for Rabbi Yehuda as well, that it'll be talui b'minhag, and maybe it'll be asur, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the chelev is totally mutar. So according to Tosafot, what's said here, Gomumo Nim Shofi is talking about the gid itself. The fats require no removal, according to Tosafot.
So again, we have a machlokes here about the fats. Rabbi Meir is saying the fat is problematic. You gotta go scrape it out all the way down to the bottom. And Rabbi Yehuda only makes you take out the fat at the top, but that's only because of Maritain. It's not even that he has an ikum ikur adin that he needs to take it out. Meir says, Lolam chelbo de gid. We're talking about the chelav of the gid. Umod is Shmuel, and Shmuel agrees. Lebra Meir mi de rabbanan asur. And Shmuel is saying that that's a din d'oraita. And din d'oraita, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda believe that it's mutar. The question is, the din d'rabbanan, is it asur? And that's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir imposes a din d'rabbanan here to make it asur. And that's what Shmuel's statement is about. The chelbo mutar is the divrei hakol mi de oraita. The tanya, because of a baraita, ushmano mutar. Israel kadoshim naugo bo isur. Technically, the shuman that is around the gid is mutar, but Israel are noeg bo isur. That's the minog Yisrael to have an isur by it. My love, Rabbi Meir. The author of that position is Rabbi Meir, and that's why it's also midrabanan. Tamar mutar mina Torah. Technically, it's okay midoraita, but sumi midrabanan. Mimai. Tamar Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe it's Rabbi Yehuda who says it's mutar midoraita, and he says midrabanan. But Rabbi Meir midoraita nami asir. Meir could say that's not Yasur. How do you know that Rabbi Meir is the author of that Braita and not Rabbi Yehuda? So lo sakadatchat, we have another Braita. The Tanya, Gidon Ashe, Mechatei Tachara B'chol Makom Shehu. The Gidon Ashe, you have to dig down all the way to the depths and rip it out. Ushmano Mutar. But its fat is Mutar. So Manch, Mayilei De'ilei Chatito, who's the one who tells us that you gotta go scrape it all the way down? That's what's shown that is used by Rabbi Meir. Bekamar, in that same breath, they say, Shmano Mutar. That the Shuman is Mutar. Must be that it's a din d'oraita, that it's Mutar. And therefore, Rabbi Meir will also be the author of the other breita that says that it's Asur, no Gubo Isur, because it was Mutar midoraita, but they're no Gubo Isur. Am Rabbi Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta, Am Rav, lo Asra Torah, Ela Knukagnot Shabbas. This is that word again that appears. You only Asr the shoots that are coming off of it. Ula Amar, Eitzhu, Vatarah Chai Ba'alav. We're talking about here, we're talking about the Gidin Asher. The Gidin Asher, the upper portion by the hip, is very thick and wide and is inedible. It's Valma. It's like wood. As it goes lower down, it thins out. The Gid thins out. And over there, the softer parts of the Gid are edible along with the Basar. So Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta Marav says, Lo Asra Torah Lo Kano Kagonot Sheba. Those shoots that are coming off the Gidin Asher, that's what's Asur, because that's the part that's edible. The other part up above is so thick and it's like an eitz. There we don't worry about it. Ulo Amar, Eitzu, the whole thing is wood. The Torah chayav alav. It's a gzeirat hakatuv that you're chayav on it, even though technically it's not edible. The whole gid is considered to be problematic. Amar Abayi kavate to ula mistabro. Makes sense what ula is saying. Damar of sheishet, damar of asi. Chutin shebechelev asurim. The small
veins that are found inside of the fat,
or lines that are found within the fats, are asur. Vein chayavin alem, but you're not a chayav for them. Almo. Chelev Amar Rachman. From that you conclude that the chelev, what's also in the Torah is the chelev, the lo chutin, and not this stringy material, the veins that go in side of the chelev. How chanami, so to say over here, gid Amar Rachman, v'lo knuna kanot, that the Torah says the gid is asur, but not the pipes that come off of it. Perul is saying that itzu, yes, and how chanami is not edible. Okay, it's like wood, but that's what the Torah said is asur. So Gufa, we're going to investigate this a little bit. Amar of Sheishet, Amar of Asi, chutin shebechelev asurim in chayvin alehem. These veins, these little lines that are inside of the fats, they are asurim, but you don't have a chayev on them because they really don't have a din of chalev. Shibikulya, those are by the kidneys, asurim. Those veins or those lines that are found within the kidneys are asurim, but ain't chayev in alem, same thing. Loben kulya, the white part of the kulya, of the kidney area, the white fat that
of the kidney that are found internally in the hollowed section in the center of the kidney, in that area, those fats that are inside, but also come up to the surface of the kidneys.
Rabbi Chiya, Machloket Tanaim over here, Chalam Asar v'chad Shari. One said it's Asur, and one says it's Mutar. Rabba
Mimartate.
Lay, he used to scrape it out, he used to take out all of these fats, scrape out after it. Rabbi Yochanan
Mimartate.
Lay, he did the same thing. He scraped it out, he went after to take it all out. Rabbi Asi Gaim Lay. Vasi, you still Ha Chapui Ababukulya Achal.
On the other hand, Ravasi only took out the fats that could be seen on the surface, but anything that was covered by the kidney, he did not go in and get.
Amar Abaye Kavati to Rabbi Yasi, Mistavro. Ravasi does, makes a lot of sense. Amar, Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Meshmuel, Chilev, Shebabasar, Chofe Oto, Mutar. Chilev, that is covered by flesh, is Mutar. Alma, from that you see, Shealak Salim, Amar Rahmana. The only chela that is asur inside the body of the animal is that which is on top of the ksalim.
Fats are upon the loins.
But lo shebetochem ksalim, not that which is found inside the ksalim.
But not the fats that are inside the loins.
So only that which is riding on top is problematic. That which is found inside is not considered to be problematic. Hachanami, so still we will say she'ala klayot amar rachmana. The fats on the kidneys are problematic. Velo shebetochem klayot, but not the fat that is found inside of the kidney. And that's why Rav Asi was goyim like. He used to take out goyim, he used to remove the fats that were obvious, exposed on top, but he would eat the fats that were found inside of the kidney because of this deal that we just made. Okay, we'll stop over here and we'll continue with this sugya tomorrow from the gufa.